Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
And my name is John, and I'm here to say I make cool rap songs every day. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. Your mom and dad are really cool.
Huh? What the hell was that?
It's a rap song. This is the rap episode.
It's Warp. This is episode 38 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Warp.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to redo my notes. Give me like 20 minutes. Okay, we're back now, and this episode was written by Manabu Ishikawa, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Starscream got swole and Primus kicked his ass. And in this episode, Kobe's working on something.
Yeah, he's welding away to try and take his mind off of Bud. He's worried about his brother, and Optimus comes in to see how he's doing, and we're reminded that they need to get to Gigantion, and that apparently Starscream knows about the place. And the last these guys saw Starscream, though, Starscream got pretty well, he got a moon thrown at him. Like, yeah. How do they even think he's still alive?
Yeah, Optimus actually says, we have to assume that Starscream has figured this all out and he's on his way to Gigantion. No, you have to assume he's like laying half dead in space. Anyway, Vector Prime then calls to say he's discovered the space-time warp travel orb, green orb thing. And inside, okay, this was just so dumb. They all get to the command center, whatever it is, and on Primus, and they're like, they're on Primus still. Yeah. And he's like, okay, inside this tunnel, all time and space is distorted, which will cause them to, like, lose their minds. But luckily, we have a vaccine, so none of this is a legitimate concern.
Yes, they've developed a vaccine to prevent their minds being separated from their bodies, because they don't want that to happen, based on technology from Vector Prime's sword. And then Vector Prime also reminds the kids, you're immune to the effects of this thing because you're kids, and that makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, I'm going to get into a bit of a mini rant later about all the ways you can get through this tunnel without being damaged.
Oh,
but before we
yes.
do that, I just want to state, dear listener, Paul and I are very pro-vaccine. We're behind science, we're pro-science, we're pro-vaccine, but the vaccine in this fucking episode is useless.
And it also doesn't solve the problem that they don't have a ship to fly to wherever this tunnel in space is, but no need to worry about that because Override gets on the screen and says, look what I found. I took Lori's advice and I went shopping and she has a starship.
Yeah, apparently Breakdown and Clocker, there's two names we haven't heard in, I don't know, 20 episodes. They found it somewhere on Speed Planet or something. There's a myth about it and it's called the Agija? Agiga. Agia.
Yeah.
Kijiji?
Which I'm like, what the hell was that thing? But apparently it's the name of an island in Homer's Odyssey. I do not know the classics at all well, dear listener. I've never read that one, but apparently that's what it's from.
Yeah, in fact, Kobe says that in his research for Atlantis, the Lost Island, this name, Agia, oh, that's it, Agia. I wrote it down phonetically at this point. Agia popped up a lot, and Lori says, well, it must have been based on this ship. You know, this ship that left Cybertron and went to Velocitron and never came anywhere near Earth.
And that's where Homer got the name, the unoriginal bastard.
Dole.
Yeah, and then Kobe suggests that the one that landed on Beast Planet must have been called Brigadoon, which apparently is a mythical town in Scotland that only appears one for a day every 100 years or something like that. And everybody laughs at him. That was kind of weird.
But did they even find one off Beast Planet? Or see, this doesn't matter. This episode is kind of, and it's, I'm making quote signs, science. But they all get a Gia ready to go. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Kobe, Lori, this was so dumb. Kobe, Lori, and Six Speed are pushing this giant crate, and Landmine comes by. He's like, hey, what's in the crate? And Kobe's like, hey, don't worry.
What's in the box?
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's head, spoiler. But if you haven't seen Seven already, shame on you. But Kobe says something like, hey, I'm not going to tell you it's a surprise, but it'll come in handy. And I would bet $1,000 right now that when we find out whatever it is in the box, there's going to have been no reason why he should have kept it secret.
Either that, or it's going to be something that could have helped them how many fucking times by the time they get around to using it.
Yeah, one of the two.
But yeah, he won't even tell Lori, the goofball she calls him. And now it goes to the Autobots getting their vaccine to keep their heads from exploding or whatever it's supposed to do. And Red Alert uses the same injector for all of them.
Yes.
Like he dings Landmine with it, and then he's about to do Snarl. So yeah, that's sanitary.
Yeah, and it's weird that it's an actual injected vaccine. Like they get this like glowing rod injected in their forearms.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be like a program or something they would download.
Yeah, just upload it into their heads. Whatever. It doesn't matter because they're... because Jetfire, they're like, hey, where's Jetfire, everybody? And he's hiding, and he insists that he should hang back and look over Primus. And then Primus conveniently just, now he can talk again, makes the room glow, and he's like, hey, Jetfire, stop being a little pansy.
Yeah. I'll keep an eye on that black hole. Stop being the anti-vax or whatever, and tells them all, you know, take your shots and go. Just don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. And now that Jetfire doesn't have an excuse, he lets Red Alert vaccinate him.
Yeah, so the entire crew's ready to go, and the big music's playing, and Optimus gives the order to leave, and he says, this show is like so many references now. He says, second star to the right, and straight on to Gigantagon, but on.
Yeah, good old Peter Pan. He could have at least said, you know, set a course just east of Lyra, northwest of Pegasus. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Kobe tells Bud, hang on, we're coming, and commercial break, maybe? Because it seemed a bit early.
It did, because I have another commercial break later on, but then Scattershot warns the kids it's going to be a bumpy ride, and they're at the tunnel entrance, and Vector Prime says, hey, anybody who has doubts, stop having your doubts, because the tunnel is going to harm you if you have doubts, so you have to have determination, so they didn't need the vaccine. And then he tells Kobe and Lori that evil minds with strong wills can safely pass, like Starscream and Megatron, so they definitely didn't need the vaccine,
yeah.
Whatever, they enter the tunnel.
And it's just strong will, so why couldn't adults,
right?
I mean, not that I want Dum Dum and Colonel What's-His-Face to be here, but I mean, why
Secret
couldn't
Agent Man, I give it to.
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Dum
Dum
would, but... yeah, you make the right Facebook post and Dum Dum's going to start believing it's a flat earth.
But either way, the ship enters the thing and things do start shaking. And I think this should have been the other way around what happens right here, because Lori, you can tell she's kind of nervous. She like clenches her hands, and Kobe reaches over and holds her hand and tells her things will be fine. But Kobe's the one that we've seen before is like scared of everything, it seems like. And he's worried about his brother. You think it'd be the other way around, like, hang in there, Kobe, we'll find Bud, don't worry, that kind of thing.
On that, Paul, have you noticed that Kobe's looking older? Like, they've given him an open-collared shirt, which is really not the kind of thing you want to be wearing when you're working on machinery. But he's wearing an open-collared shirt. His face looks a little different now. His hair looks a little shaggier. He looks a little more like Tim than he looked like his older self. But I wonder if, because they're clearly trying to start something with Kobe and Lori here, where I'm going to guess by the end, there's going to be some awkward, you know, eye contact, and maybe she kisses him on the cheek and he blushes. There's going to be something like that. And I feel like they're just trying, you know, somebody was like, it's a little creepy if we get them like lovey-dovey when they're 11 or 12. Let's make them look like they're 15, 16.
Yeah, well, even Lori has different clothes now, too, and she looks thinner is what I would have thought. It's like she looks, not that she was ever big before, but she seems really kind of skinny now.
And Kobe too, he seems a little more lithe. Yeah, so it feels like either they changed an animation house or new animators took over, or somebody just said make the kids look older. It does actually kind of make sense, because they're, you know, this as dumb as family was, this is now when they're moving on and they've left their parents behind. We're spending way too much time on this. Let's go over to Starscream. Before we get to Starscream, because this is so dumb, Kobe gives a bunch of exposition about Bud being left behind in the Atlantis after the failed escape pod escape. And like, it feels like every episode of this show does its best to like it just assumes that you never watched the last episode.
Yeah, because the way Kobe says this, it's like he's just figuring this out for the first time himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But over on the Atlantis, nothing is shaking, unlike over on the whatever ship name they're on. And Starscream and Sideways are just fine.
The Kijiji.
Yeah, Starscream and Sideways are just fine. Like, you know, that no vaccine. And Starscream is surprised to see the Autobots, but the hell, he's going to let them get to the key first, so he just starts firing at them.
Even though the Autobots just a little bit ago were like, oh, they're opening fire on us, I don't know why I'm trying to figure out. Fuck this episode. So, yeah, they open fire again on the Kijiji. And then Bud and the Mini-Cons are standing at the only window on Atlantis that they're conveniently in the right room for. And they're watching this battle open up. And Bud figures out... He actually asks Jolt if, quote, Mini-Cons dream of electric sheep.
Yeah.
Or no, electric ships. And this series is now officially 28% references and 46% transformation animation.
Because I did know that that is a reference to something. It's a book, I think, like The Robot's Dream of Electric Sheep.
It's the book that Blade Runner was based on.
Oh, okay. That's how I know.
Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
That's it. Jolt turns in and notices, he looks out the window too. After Bud says that, Jolt says some kind of line. Well, yeah, of course we dream, you idiot, or something like that. But he notices this tiny little light in one corner of the other ship. And immediately he knows that's 6B trying to get a hold of them.
Yeah, why not? So Bud says, actually I did like this. Bud realizes that, hey, they're not firing on us. And it's probably because they think I'm here.
Yeah, so if 6B knows we're here, then the Autobots know that.
Yeah, so he gets Jolt and Reverb to follow him. And second commercial break?
Yeah, I have a And then there's another commercial break here, question mark. And when we come back, a door opens and Bud, Jolt, and Reverb do the Scooby-Doo thing, peeking around the corner, one on top of each other. Yeah. They even say, oh, the coast is clear. And then back on whatever this, the Kijiji, I guess, they take a direct hit to the engines and they're going down. And they start panicking. But Vector Prime tells everyone, calm the hell down. Otherwise, you're just going to make it worse. Like, you have to think good thoughts. Otherwise, the thing doesn't work.
Yeah. When the engine is blowing up, Kobe has to convince Optimus, like, hey, let me... I think this is where I went over or jumped the gun last episode and was talking about this moment. Kobe's like, hey, Optimus, I can do this. And Optimus has to think about it for a bit. And like,
yeah.
At this point, Kobe's the only reason anything works on this show.
Also, then, Optimus, let him come along before. Yeah. Like, we've already crossed that step back with family. Like, you knew this was going to be a dangerous mission. Well, here's the danger, right?
Yeah. So everybody talks about how important it is to believe in each other and motivation and teamwork and all this stuff. For over 40 seconds, I had to time it while the ship is careening into the time loop stream, whatever. And then Kobe finally runs off to fix whatever it is he's got to fix.
Yep. And Red Alert's going to give him a hand with that. And back on Atlantis, the tunnel starts to affect sideways. He starts tripping.
He starts tripping balls.
Yeah. So I guess the rules do apply, just not right away, maybe. I don't know.
When it's convenient.
But now down in the engine room, back on the Kijiji, Red Alert is open to suggestions as to how to fix this thing, and Kobe comes up with the idea to divert power from the weapons to the engine, because they're not using the weapons, right? Divert the power from that, which they do by plugging in what looked to me like a dozen guitar patch cables.
Yeah, it's audio jacks. They're pulling them out of holes, plugging them in other holes. I was surprised that we didn't see RCA cables. And then Kobe and Sixshot have to, like, push, and I literally mean push, it's the size of a large crate, this switch.
Yeah.
And everybody's on the monitors going, you can do it, Kobe, you can do it.
So why doesn't Red Alert do it?
Yeah, he's right there. He could do this with one hand tied behind his back.
Like, it's a switch sized for an Autobot.
Anyway, Lori's very proud of Kobe, which I think reinforces my idea that there's going to be a relationship between these two.
But now there's a meteor coming at them, and Jetfire's like, oh, we could just blast the thing, but oh yeah, we rerouted the power from the weapons, didn't we? Well, so much for that idea, and also this thing is too big to evade.
Yeah, they I think they call it an asteroid or meteor, whatever they call it. It's a fucking planet. It's the size of a planet. There's a shot where the Kijiji is just in space, a little dot in this asteroid, if you want to call it that, takes up the whole screen. And also, how did you not detect it until it was like, I don't know, probably about 40 or 50 kilometers in front of you? It's the size of a fucking planet.
Oh, but Starscream, he thinks it's going to be a happy ending for him. I guess he just assumes this thing is not going to hit his ship.
It's right
back
behind
on the Kijiji. Kobe's magic Genesis 6 button controller fax machine X-ray communicator, whatever the fuck it is, goes off, and Bud's on the line, and he and, quote, the boys are in the engine room of the Atlantis, and they're about to do some redecorating, and they just start smashing the place up with wrenches.
Yeah, this was a great Bud moment. Like, yeah, we got an idea, and the idea is to bust shit up. So they start doing that, and all I could think was like, wait, Kobe didn't think to contact Bud before when they knew they were within range? Smart kid. Anyway, the Kijiji pulls ahead of Atlantis because Atlantis is getting its engine beat up. And then Optimus says, we're going to take out this asteroid the old-fashioned way.
But yeah, the way he says it, though, it's like, we're going to show it. Like, they're going to show this inanimate rock that is this planet the real power of teamwork. Like, yeah, you're going to show it. But then they all just stand there for 5 seconds before Optimus and Wingding finally link up. And just saying, if they were the size of a planet right now, this would make it a lot easier. Remember from last time? Where I said you could have done that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the Autobots all use their cyber keys. And when the thing gets close enough, they all fire at it, which blasts a hole through it.
Perfectly shaped hole for the Kijiji to fly through. And it does. And then it warps away. And then Kobe just, and everybody's like, and then Kobe wakes up on the ground.
Well, yeah, he got zapped by something he was standing beside before. And look at that, they made it. They're in the other dimension. Yeah, he wakes up and again, Lori's got his head in her lap, like, are you all right kind of thing. I was like, okay, there's something building here. Yeah, they're in the other dimension, and now it's full speed ahead to Gigantion, because even though they're on this side of it, they know where Gigantion is in relation to this side of the... Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Sure they do. So then we cut to a planet that looks an awful lot like Cybertron with a ring, and apparently it's Gigantion, and Soundwave and Megatron and his gang are there, and it, like, there's nobody else here.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Detroit from Animated, like, from Orbit.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like Cybertron with a ring, but on the surface, it has a blue sky and I think clouds, and it looks like a futuristic Earth city.
And then Sari comes up and Megatron just goes, oh, fuck.
At 13 minutes and 25 seconds, the Autobot ship gets blasted and the main engine is hit, and Scattershot clearly says the main engine's been hit, power's going down, and they're going to reroute the power from the weapons, which they can't use anyway. Alright, before we get too carried away, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Is the engine just the source of the ship's power, like a diesel-electric locomotive, or is it the actual thing that's making this ship move, like the engine in your car, or plane, or rocket? Well, it seems to me that if it's the former, basically just a generator, then you wouldn't put it outside the ship where it can be shot. You'd put it inside. In the engine room, where Kobe goes, where there is no giant hole in the wall exposing the room to space caused by it having been blasted, so scattershot must mean the actual thing propelling the ship is what was damaged. Well, how is restoring power to a broken engine gonna help anything? Until you get out there and get your hands dirty and fix what's been damaged, experiment time, go to the junkyard and find a car, doesn't matter what color, that's been stripped for useful parts. Hook it up to whatever source of power you want, pay the guy, and try to drive it home. Yeah, it didn't work, did it? Of course not. There's no wheels in the fucking thing. It's a paperweight. Also, why do they need to reroute power from the weapons? They aren't using the weapons. The weapons aren't drawing power. You don't need to physically remove light bulbs to save money on your power bill. Just turn off the light when you leave the room. If it's not on, it doesn't use power. If the tap in the bathroom is off, it's
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. The episode we watched was Warp, not Rap. But Paul, what did you think was pretty straightforward?
This whole bit with Bud or Kobe and Lori, now that you pointed out a little more, I wonder if it's going anywhere, or it's just where, like, he's holding her hand, she's not pulling away. In the previous episode, at one point I just kind of skipped over, she lost her balance and he grabbed her and she doesn't pull away again. In fact, he keeps holding her for a few more scenes. I'm like, something going on here. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's going to culminate with, like, her kissing his cheek, saying probably something like My Hero. And then he's going to blush. I think that's as far as they'll take
it. Yeah, kind of like he did with Dum Dum that time in the helicopter where his face turns red.
Yeah, but that was creepy.
Yeah.
She's creepy.
At least she's his age. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I liked when Lori called Override Big Sister again. That was kind of nice. They had established that. It came back. And you know what I liked was, as easy, like, they're lobbing, you know, softballs at us, but I like all the references that do Minicons dream of electric ships, all that stuff.
And then again, just Bud, just being Bud, like, he's still the eternal optimist in his situation. He's never once panicking or losing his mind about anything. He's just like, yeah, we're just gonna be over here redecorating, and then it pans or switches out and he's holding this Autobot sized wrench basically, and then just starts smashing shit. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. I also, despite not liking the vaccine nonsense in this and how pointless it was, my little mini rant about how it not mattering, I like vaccines. And dear listener, get your annual flu shot and get your fucking measles is back. Like that, we eradicated that shit. Like, so make sure your kids, if you got kids, make sure they're vaccinated against measles because that shit sucks. And get your COVID boosters and get your flu shots. And
yeah,
science
it's not just
works.
For you. It's for everybody.
It's for everybody.
That's why it's called a society.
If you're a fan of Transformers, then you have to agree that science works on some level and magic doesn't. Get your fucking vaccines for the love of Christ. The next episode we're going to watch is Giant. And if you want to hear me be a giant pretentious asshole about some other science, you can email the podcast at TransformersNitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at TransformersNitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. Oh, we could just blast the thing.